Welcome to the show, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Paul Nichols. I'm your host, the host of It's Your Money, the podcast that was designed to pull back the curtain on the financial services industry and expose the truth about money and investing. Happy New Year. I hope this finds you well. As of today, what is today? It would be January 20th. I'm going to do a market update as of January 17th today. For those of you that are regular listeners, we have a whole new format that we're going to be pursuing this year. We'll see how it goes. Don't want to make any promises at this point because life does have a tendency of getting away from us sometimes. But what I'm going to do today is a quick market update. I want to talk a little bit about a Super Bowl prediction, and then talk a little bit about a recent blog that we had put out called The Sleep Factor. And just for those of you that are listening for the first time, Financial Abundance is a registered investment advisory firm. It is in Happy Valley, Pennsylvania, that's State College. I am the president of said company and founder, and we designed this podcast several years ago to pull back the curtain on the financial services industry and expose the truth as it relates to the way finance works compared to an awful lucrative profitable marketing machine that wants to imply certain skills as it relates to what's going to happen in the market and really creates more confusion than it needs to when you look at the academic truths of investing. You know, whenever I say truths, I always think of that movie, My Cousin Vinny, when the guy was trying to say youths. The attempt was to say, hey, look, the science is out there. What are they teaching in our universities? What are they teaching at schools? What are they teaching as it relates to how the science works and the market works compared to what is actually happening in the marketplace? So anyway, real quick, let's get into the market update. The idea of the market update is to simply be able to communicate to you, the listener, in one spot, one location here on the podcast, an overview of how the entire global marketplace is doing. If we didn't do this, you'd have to go to several places to find that out. Now, why would we do this? Well, what we're attempting to do is prove to people that the market academically has been proven to have a two-thirds bias, that the market's up 2 out of 3 times, down 1 out of 3 times, that no one knows what's going to happen in the market moving forward, that all information is already factored into the prices of goods and services. The only things that are going to change those prices is new information, new unknowable information that's brought to light, and no one would know that ahead of time. And so the academics and the science through the years, the last 50 years, has proved out empirically, proven that basically the market has a pretty simple process as it relates to getting the returns. That is, own equities, balance that with fixed income for risk, diversify across the entire global marketplace, and rebalance on a regular basis. With that being said, in 2013, we had incredible growth in the market in different areas, and I venture to say that there are a number of outfits out there touting that we are the reason for that, when in fact managers had nothing to do with growth in the market. The market has to do with growth in the market. It comes from the market, not from managers. So those of us that look at this from an academic empirical viewpoint, we say, hey, listen, we don't want to hear about your theories and your reasoning and logic behind what you think is going to happen in the market. Let's just own the entire marketplace. And in order to do that, one would need to own asset classes, not sectors. Asset classes would encompass sectors. Sectors for the layman would be things like financial, telecom, different sectors of our overall marketplace. Now, that would be a mistake based on the history and what the research shows, but rather one should invest in the entire global marketplace by investing in asset classes, not guessing what sector is going to be up or down, but recognize you want to own all the companies that are based on size and intent. For example, you want to own large companies, small companies, U.S., domestic, emerging markets, developed markets. You want to own value companies, growth companies. So basically, when we do the market update, ladies and gentlemen, every so often, it's to communicate to you where the market is as a whole. Now, of course, we're starting and coming off a wonderful year last year. 2013 was absolutely awesome. But now we're in 20, 14, it's a new year. So this is a market update, ladies and gentlemen, as of January 17th market close. So this would have been last Friday, okay, at the end of business day. And we had Monday, a holiday here in the U.S., for those of you international listeners, Martin Luther King Day, so the markets were closed. So this is as of last Friday. I'm recording this on Tuesday. And what we have here is the Russell 2500. Now that measures, that's an index that measures small to mid-size U.S. predominantly growth companies. Year to date, it's up about 0.5%. We're just getting started 2014, so small growth companies are up so far for 2014. The Russell 2000, which measures small to very small, like micro-sized companies, and size is based on capitalization of the company for you laymen out there. And we would have small to micro segment, and that's up 0.75%, so heading close to a point. That brings us to the Russell 1000 value, which measures large cap value. These would not be growth companies, but value companies. Academics would define a value company as an unexcellent company. They're a distressed company. They wouldn't be a growth company. They would be a value company. They're not bad companies, but we should get a risk premium, more return for investing in a value company, one that's not excellent or doing extremely well, versus a growth company. And right now, value companies large are down about 0.5% for 2014. When we look at Russell 2000 value, which is small value companies, it's down about the same. So right now in the small, very small growth, we're doing positive. In the small to large value, we're in the negative area. And as it relates to the S&P, which is predominantly, it's regarded as the best single gauge for the U.S. equities market. It represents 500 predominant large growth companies. It's about 0.5% down. So right now, the only area that's really up would be small growth, yay team. I hope you own all of it. And I hope you're rebalancing on a regular basis. Let's go to the international marketplace. And across the board, let's not go across the board. Let's go with the Morgan Stanley Capital International World Index. We would use this to look at developed markets. These would be the well-known about 22 or so, 24 developed markets. For example, Canada, Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, Greece, Hong Kong, Ireland, Italy, Japan, etc. We're down about 0.25% for the year 2014 in the developed international countries. When we go to the emerging countries, we are down about 3.25%, just shy of 3.25%. That was our doggard last year. That was our laggard last year. That was the dog last year. And then what takes us to the only area that's positive internationally would be the EFA, Morgan Stanley Capital International, Europe, Australia, Far East. And that's up about 0.14%. So the market update for 2014, January 17th business close right now, is we're positive and small, and we're giving up some ground in all the other areas from the turn of the new year. So when we look at the market update right now, not a lot to report other than I hope that you're in it. I hope that you're in all of it. Because, when you look at all the asset classes, growth is going to come from one of them. There's no question. And I hope you own all of them. And I hope you get total market returns. Because in the final analysis, that's all any of us get, is really market returns minus what it costs to invest. Which brings me to the prediction. Let's have a quick, I'm looking at my iPad real fast here. Many of you may have heard of the Super Bowl indicator. That's a prediction every year that comes out that says, well, if the NFC wins or the AFL, old AFL, AFC wins, the market's going to go a certain way. Now, what's interesting about this, if you want the market to go up and you are a prognosticator, then you would want to go with the Seattle Seahawks in the NFC because whenever they win, 80% of the time, 80% of the time, this Super Bowl indicator has been accurate. Whenever they win, the market does well. Whenever the AFC wins, statistically speaking, more often, the market does poorly. Of course, this doesn't always hold water because when the Giants won in 2008, the market should have been a positive when it was the worst year we've had since the Depression. And then when we look at last year where Baltimore won the Super Bowl, they're the AFC, it should have been a down market, and we had an incredibly profitable year in the stock market. So I don't know if the Super Bowl indicator is accurate, but for those of you that like to prognosticate and predict, I would encourage you to root for Seattle. Of course, from a greed viewpoint, that probably makes sense, but coming from out west personally and being a Colorado boy, I'm obviously going to go for the Broncos. I'm rooting for the Broncos. In fact, I'll tell you how much of a football fan I am. I actually took my wife when we were on our honeymoon to a Broncos-Raider game, which is a huge rivalry. If you're from out west, you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, with that being said, let me touch on a blog that we had posted to the website. For those of you that have not checked out our newly revamped website, which I think we've got all the bugs worked out of that puppy, it's FAICoach.com, Financial Abundance Incorporated, coach.com. So FAICoach.com. And we, every couple weeks, we'll be posting a blog. We do it on a regular basis, but we're going to get a little bit more disciplined about it as we move forward. And this last one I thought was timely and one that's important. And I want to just discuss briefly something called the sleep factor. You know, when you think about the market having a two-thirds bias, one out of every 3 years is down and two out of every 3 years is up. Historically, though, we never know which year is going to be up and which year is going to be down. In fact, when we look at the stats from 1926 to 2013, there were 88 years. The S&P was up 64, averaging 21.5%, and down 24 years, averaging a negative of about 13.5%. Now, obviously, going through these economic times, these turbulent times, is never pleasant, but it is part of the recipe. Now, we know the market's going to go up, the market's going to go down. And if you believe in active management and the implication, the inference that people have some insight to what's going to happen in the market, then you would probably want to turn away from this factual bias and say, well, I believe in myself and my ability to beat the market. See, it's normally the crash that isn't the problem when the market takes a downturn. The fact that it goes down, we know is going to happen. I mean, it's math. We know mathematically what's going to happen with 98% certainty in the market, because it's all based on math, okay? The crash, or if you will, the downturn, the dramatic decline that happens in the market, which it does occasionally happen, as we all have known and have felt in recent years, that's not really the problem, you see. It's the investor's reaction to that. And we call this the investor dilemma. See, the investor dilemma is that emotional process that we all go through when we're trying to solve a problem, when we're trying to forecast, we're trying to predict, we're trying to project what's going to happen in the future. And this investor dilemma would not be as difficult to coach people through, you know, the whole idea of the market, the panic and the greed, if it was not magnified by the media and the financial industries constantly hyping these scenarios, both, you know, negative and positive depending. You see, a stock market crash or downturn is really a double-edged sword for the industry. It's not necessarily a bad thing for them. Sure, market values as a whole go down, but their transactions dramatically go up. In fact, you could look at 2008 and look at the quarter, the first, second, third quarter in 2009 returns of many of the brokerage firms and see that they had record earnings, and many of them were transactions. It was all transactions based. So we know that the market has a lot more activity when it's down than when it's up. So this is why it's so important. And this is something we coach on and really drive home, is the whole idea of the sleep factor. What could happen to my portfolio in a down market environment? What has historically happened in my portfolio in a down market environment? What's my standard deviation, the actual measurement of risk that I'm taking? And with that, we can figure out, within, again, 98% certainty, what a potential market downturn could cost any type of portfolio that's designed. In other words, a potential market crash, a downturn environment with your portfolio mix is quantifiable. It is scientific. It can be communicated to you in the form of a percentage. Unfortunately, most people aren't getting real coaching. They're getting someone to enable them, to enable their fear and their panic, to initiate the transactions based on that fear, rather than to putting a real strong foundation in place that says, hey, this is the investment philosophy. We're not going to chase the market. We're not going to react like a lot of people do. We're not going to panic. We're not going to be greedy. What we're going to do, rather, and allow me to offer six steps, and go to the website and check this article out. I encourage you. Let me offer six steps as to how you would want to react if we have a potential market downturn. And ladies and gentlemen, it will happen. It is going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. Anyone that implies they know what's going to happen, I'd say get away from them as soon as you can. Because, you know, if they believe that they really can, and you believe that they can predict what's going to happen in the market, well, why would they share that with you? There would be no motivation, you see. If they knew what was going to happen in the market, they could just trade themselves. They could have a laptop with Wi-Fi on the beach in a resort and every morning do a little trading because they knew what was going to happen in the market. Of course, no one's been able to do it. Supercomputers haven't been able to do it. Technology hasn't been able to do it because the market is made up of a whole lot of irrational, uncoached advisors and irrational and uncoached, as a result, clients. You see, the six steps that will enable you to find peace of mind over your investments. One, diversify across the entire global marketplace. Remember, umbrellas, suntan lotion. The whole concept and what the science proves is dissimilar price movement. You never know which asset class is going to be a winner. You want to own them all. Rebalance religiously. Might I attempt to say cultish without creating an improper connotation? Religiously rebalance and lock in those gains. Conquer your money demons, number three. This is vital. This is vital, ladies and gentlemen. You do not want an advisor, a rep, a registered rep, someone who calls themselves a coach that's not coaching. Crashes happen. No one knows what's going to happen in the market moving forward. You got to get some coaching to prepare yourself, number four, mentally. Through the coaching and through events when they're offered. And by the way, if you don't have regular coaching events offered to you and you are in the market, somebody's getting a fee for that, for the money you have invested in the market through whatever different means. If you're not offered regular coaching, you need to find a coach and ditch that salesperson, that transactional guru, that enabler, and get some coaching because you're absolutely paying for it in some capacity. Whether it be giving up market returns or whether it be actual bid-ask spread and transaction cost that are created by you initiating them or the manager who runs the portfolio or the funds that you own initiating it. Returns come from the market, not from the manager. What's your sleep factor? You should be able to tell me what percentage of your portfolio could be lost in a downed market like a 2008. Like a 1973-74, like a 1929 stock market crash. And when you do those things and you consider, number six, take a little time to visualize what a downturn looks like. And could you handle that with your current sleep factor? And if you can't, and if you don't know, then that's one problem, okay? Then you need to get some coaching for sure. But if you do know and you can't, then maybe an adjustment needs to be made. I know I sound like a broken record here, but it's really about getting a coach. Prepare yourself now. Reacting as most people do in a panic creates undue burden and cost investors billions, sometimes trillions, i.e. 2008, with locked in, yes, locked in losses. If you're not sure about your sleep factor, maybe it's time for some coaching. With that being said, let me just end there. My name is Paul Nichols, the investor coach, pulling back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposing the truth about money and investing. If you'd like to learn more about an academic approach to investing, go to our website, faicoach.com. If you happen to be in our local calling area, give us a call, 814-867-5745, 814-867-5745. We do business across the country, not just in Pennsylvania. So if you need a coach and you're not in our area, we can introduce you to a coach, or perhaps we can help you virtually or through other means. If you'd like to learn more about an academic approach to investing, retirement, wealth management, really understanding what the real truths are about investing and not being prey based on the hype and the doom and gloom scenarios from the media. I encourage you to get coached up. In fact, you go to our website, we have a free resource area. You can just click on that button and there's all kinds of academic material we can send you with an attempt for you to have the same epiphany, the same aha moment that we did at one point in our life when we started realizing investing isn't that difficult. The returns are in the market, not in the managers. Of course, the industry wants you to imply it's them and the managers. So with that being said, Paul Nichols signing off. Have a wonderful day, and thank you for listening.